Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to
Healing Light Radio Show.
Welcome to the Healing Light Radio Show with your host, Reverend Stan. We will be teaching about the Word of God and teaching about the power of the Holy Spirit. I hope you enjoy this broadcast.
Welcome to the Healing Light Radio Show. How you doing, Jacob?
I'm doing good. How are you, Stan?
Doing pretty good. It's going to be an awesome day in the Lord, and we're going to be talking about when Jesus walked on the water. I know the first thing that popped in my mind was talking about, you know, Jesus in the boat and hanging out with the disciples, and I was asking the Holy Spirit, I was like, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to talk about tonight? And, you know, you gave me about him actually hanging out in the boat, but what you, which time do you want me to talk about here? And the first thing he told me, he was actually telling me, he said, you know, I want you to start talking about fear, about the fear of Peter and them, how they feared when they saw Jesus walking on that water, and how as he kept his eyes on Jesus, how that strengthened him and got him to, you got his faith working, and his faith got him where he could walk right towards Jesus. What do you think about that, Jacob?
Well, I think it's I think you're right on with that. I think it's a good illustration of keeping your eyes on Jesus here and not watching things going on around you. And that's you know, that's kind of what happened later on. Peter got his eyes on, you know, what I call the storms of life, or the you know, the waves of tribulation. And but you know what? In the end, Jesus pulled him back up and he walked back to the boat with him.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, he did. And that's the thing that I really see. I really see that, you know, there's some people that get attracted to the Lord and they're wanting to move for the Lord and do a lot of things for him. But then all of a sudden, you know, job starts pulling them away from the Lord. Their kids start pulling them away from the Lord. Their football games start pulling them from the Lord. And then all of a sudden things starts tumbling down, and it's like they're taking their focus off of Jesus. And one of the biggest things that I really saw that New Age does, and a lot of people don't know this, New Age is actually created to take your eyes off of God, to take your eyes off of Jesus, to get where you don't know who Jesus is and where the enemy can take you down, think that you are connecting to God and you're not. And as we know, Jesus is the only way to the Father. All the other ways are imitation ways, and the Word of God really talks against what those religions do. But what it does, it gets you so many things to concentrate your mind on, but takes you off of Jesus. See, the only way to the Father is Yahshua, Jesus the Christ. When everything else takes your eyes off of him, keeps your relationship with everything else except for Jesus, you're lost. Because he is the only one you're supposed to focus on. He's the one that died on the cross for you. He's the one that's going to be teaching you. He's the one that's going to guide you into all truths, praise God. And the Holy Spirit's there also. The Holy Spirit works, both of them works together, I believe. But the thing of it is to keep your eyes on the Lord. You can't go wrong when you keep your eyes on the Lord, Jacob.
No, you can't. And, you know, like Peter in the boat, man, he started out doing really well. And let's not forget, he was the only one coming out of the boat. The rest of those guys wasn't going to do that. But Peter, you know, The great thing about Peter is his boldness. Well, as I know for a fact and personal experience, you know, boldness is great. That is a gift, but boldness can get you in trouble. Well, that time, Peter's boldness didn't get him in trouble. He said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to walk out on the water, you know, and come to you. And he did. And we don't know, and this is something that is always intriguing, we don't really know how far Peter walked, because we don't know where Jesus was when he called him. We just know that he was an eye shot. And when Peter said, Lord, is that you? If that's you, call me to walk out on the water. And he said, come. But we don't know if he walked 5 feet, 10 feet, or 15 feet, you know. And so that's always an interesting thought.
Yes, we don't really know how far he walked. Maybe he walked way out into the water, and all of a sudden he started sinking, and the Lord, pulled him up and got him closer to the boat. But what's so unique is how that took place. And, we're going to be right back. And, folks, I want to tell you, if you call that 515-602-9685, you can call into the show, and we could pray for you tonight. If you need prayer tonight, call in, and we'll be more than happy to pray for you. We love to see miracles happen. We love to see the Holy Spirit move. Like I said, call 515-602-9685. Folks, I want to tell you, you're not going to see much on the screen, just what we got on the screen right now with Jesus walking the water, because, as you know, this is a radio show. So you're not going to see much, but you will get to hear our voices, and you'll get to call in and be put on the radio, praise God. So, share this program. Share us as much as you can, and let people know that God is going to heal them tonight. I just release the Holy Spirit amongst this broadcast to bring healing and deliverance to everybody that's listening. Holy Spirit, I ask you to go and bring complete healing and deliverance to everybody. Praise God. So call that 515-602-9685, and that will bring you right into the broadcast. And we're going to go right into a song, and we will be right back.
What will it be like when my pain is gone and all the worries of this world just fade away? What will it be like when you call my name in that moment when I see you face to face? I'm waiting my whole life, hear you say, well done.
Welcome back to the Healing Light Radio. I'm here with Jacob Phillips, and we're talking about Jesus walking on the water. It's going to be an awesome topic tonight, and we're going to get into the Word of God. And the Word of God, we're getting right into the book of Mark, and I think it's chapter 4 and verse 35. Here we go. On the same day when evening had came, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along on the boat, as he was on the little boats, also him and a great windstorm. And we're going to go into windstorm. This is another time that he was on the boat. But I'm going to be talking about the windstorm here right quick, and then we're going to get into the other one. But also talks about, and he says, the boats along, and the great windstorm arose in many ways and beat the boat back and forth, so that was already filling the boat. But he was in the stern asleep on the pillow, and they awoke him, said to him, "Teacher, do you not care about if we perish?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And the fear exceedingly said to them, to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind obeys him?" So that's another thing where, Jesus actually, calmed the oceans around him. And that's another time when Jesus actually, went against the fear of the disciples. What do you think about that, Jacob?
Well, the story is that Jesus was in stage 4 sleep. Well, it doesn't say in the Bible that he was in stage 4 sleep, but he was in a really deep sleep. And, we can't forget the fact that Jesus was a human being, but he was also filled with the Spirit of God. And, it was really interesting about the way he handled that because, he made the disciples have to realize, listen, you could have done this. You didn't even have to wake me up. And if I'd have been Jesus, I'd have probably been a little bit grumpy when that happened. Because some of us, man, we're not morning people. We don't wake up too well. But, I think it's a testament to where their faith should have been. Jesus had taken them out and done this and that with them. And he had given them power several times to go out and do certain works. And, I can see Jesus's point, of course. They should have been able to do that, but instead, they freaked out. But, that ought to just teach us that when a storm comes in life, and it don't have to be a physical storm, that we ought to be able to handle this. We shouldn't have to make Jesus handle it. He gave us the power to handle it.
That's so true.
That's my two cents. Right.
That's very true, Jake. And we're going to go right into this. This is the other part that we're supposed to talk about tonight. I'm going to get right into that. And when Jesus walks on the water, and this here is actually dealing with fear and faith also. So immediately Jesus went, made his disciples to get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he set the multitudes away. And we, now, do you understand every time Jesus them leaves, there's multitudes. Now, how many is multitudes, Jacob?
It's a lot of people.
Yeah, that's correct. There's a lot of people. And he had sent the multitude away, and he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when every evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossing by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is, you command me to come to you on the water." Peter had came down and out of the boat. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was very strong, he was afraid and was beginning to sink. He cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched his hand out and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." That's pretty awesome, man. That's pretty awesome.
It really is. And, you know, if you notice the part of that, whenever it says, you know, Jesus said to them, "Be of good cheer," he was trying to set the mood before they could be afraid. That's something I've never thought about before, but hearing you read it, I kind of, you know, got a revelation. Jesus was saying, "Be of good cheer." In other words, he didn't want them to be afraid, so he was trying to tell them how to be during the storm. Well, that's what God does whenever we're in the middle of a, you know, like, you know, maybe a spiritual storm or so, you know, just a trial in life. You know, the first thing he'll say is, "Be of good cheer," you know. And so that's something that I really latched on to, man. I mean, I know that's a small part of that verse, but it is something to think about.
Yeah, there's so many things that's there that Jesus talks about during that, you know, whole ordeal there. And they said, and, you know, as you know, Jesus sent those disciples out into the sea while he went up on the mountain to pray. And he said Jesus would go by himself all the time and pray and talk to the Lord. And, you know, he had visitations, all that stuff. Every time he went to the mountain, he always had some type of visitations. You know, Moses and Elijah showed up one time, and one of the disciples saw him and said, "Hey, why don't we just go ahead and make these tents for these past prophets that came to see you from God." And then they would just disappear, and God say, "This is my son." I mean, it's all type of supernatural things that happen around Jesus when he go up on top of a mountain. This time, he decided to walk on water, which is pretty awesome. But I think Jesus did this to see how much these disciples trusted him. I think this is like a test for the disciples to see how much they trusted him. So when he walked out the water and he said, you know, he knew Peter was going to be one of the bravest ones. "Hey, Lord, can I come and walk with you?" "Sure, Peter, come on." Jumped in the water, and all of a sudden the wind got a little strong. He's like, "Oh, man, it's going to blow me right into that water." But if you see right there when that happened, what actually happened at that moment, Jacob?
Well, Peter got off the boat. Well, that's one another thing. Wait, another thing we need to notice about that is you didn't see anybody else getting out of the boat, and everybody cracks on Peter. You know, because Peter denied Jesus. Well, Peter was the one that got out of the boat, so he couldn't have been too bad a guy, you know.
Yeah.
Sure, he made a mistake or two, man, but he's the one that got out of the boat, you know.
Yeah.
And we need to have a little bit more Peter in our life, you know. We need to have a little bit more of that boldness.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, we do. And the thing of it is that right there when that wind was blowing every which way and it was scaring him, he took his focus off of Jesus. He took his focus off of Jesus. Then he started sinking. if he'd have kept his focus completely on the Lord, no matter what was going on around him, just try to keep his focus on the Lord and walk straight to him, I think he'd have made it, man. I believe it would have been a problem.
I believe that, too. And when it talks about them walking back to the boat, I believe it was Jesus' faith that kept him afloat instead of his own.
I'm pretty sure it was. I believe it was supernatural faith, man. I think it was some supernatural faith there, and it's actually teaching the other guys in the boat, too. I think as he was walking, it was teaching all the people on the boat about, if you keep your focus on me, Jesus was saying, I can get you through this tough storm. And
I bet you they felt kind of ashamed after they saw Peter walking out there, and then Jesus came back with him. I bet in the back of their minds they're going, man, I wish I should have done that, you know.
He's like, oh, we all should have jumped off the boat and started walking. That would have been cool, you know. Hey, guys, we're all here. We followed you, Jesus. They might walk plumb across to the other side. Who knows? But, you know, it was awesome to see how somebody's faith can be so much on the Lord that he gets them through tough times and gets them through all these things. And once they get their mind completely taken off the Lord, as we saw another time when he was in a boat and the storm came up, problems came up, and they all got scared and said, Jesus, we're going to die because the storm's going to flip the boat. And he stood up, he said, peace be still. And all of a sudden, everything just ceased and everything, you know, calmed down. Then he said, how much longer do I need to be with you? I mean, don't you know these things, guys? And then he went back to sleep. But here's another time where he was testing their faith to see where they are, how much they really trusted him. When he started walking on the water and Peter came out there, he's like, yeah, that guy there has some faith. But all of a sudden, when Peter took his mind off of Jesus, that's when he sunk. So I really believe all these 3 years that he walked with these disciples was transforming these guys. It was transforming their faith. It was transforming them. I believe after Jesus resurrected and went and sent the Holy Spirit, all that stuff, and he sat on the right hand of God, Father Almighty, I guarantee you these guys was transformed in and out. What do you think, man?
I do, because the Holy Spirit was the kingdom of God was brought down on the day of Pentecost, and we all know that's when the disciples were truly saved. You know, nobody could be saved before the cross. And the day of Pentecost was the disciples' salvation. But going back to the walking on the water, one of the things I want to throw out there is Jesus walked on the water. Well, you know, whoever's listening, think about this a minute. Jesus showed his dominion over the water and the ocean and the storms by walking on the water. That was a sign of his dominion. And there was other signs that he showed. I mean, he showed his dominion over sickness and disease, and his dominion over devils every time he cast out a devil. And when Jesus walked out on the water, I do agree with Stan that it was an object lesson in faith, but I also believe that Jesus was just showing the disciples his dominion, which actually goes along with what Stan said. The dominion practice over the water and walking on the water goes along with the object lesson of faith. Listen, you have dominion over this storm, and let me show you why. You see that I'm walking on the water? I have dominion. Well, you can do this too. And so the object lesson, the illustration of Peter walking on the water shows that Peter was at least trying to exercise that same dominion, but when he took his eyes off Jesus, you know, he lost the authority. And so, because you know, the only way we can have that authority and spiritual power is to keep our eyes on Jesus. So that's just something else to think about, you know,
yes,
in this
is.
Lesson. But that kind of connects with what you're saying, Flo.
Yes, it's pretty awesome. And I mean, there's whole lots of symbolisms going on here. You know, when you know, there's just so many things. You know, there's so many people that's in a boat. That I'm gonna go this route. There are so many Christians that's in the boat with the Christians. I mean, there's a lot of Christians together, but it's only a few that will get out of the boat and do something, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's kind of like being in a church. It's like you got, let's just say you got 50 people in the church. Well, you might have 10 that might do something.
Yeah, you might have 10 to do something, but you have so many people that's in that boat, in the same boat together, and that it might be in the same religious background, in the same religious thing, but there will be one that will escape out of that and go towards Jesus and grow in the Lord even more. They will know, they will understand their sonship. They will know how to walk in the power and authority. They will understand that, but the rest of them is comfortable where they are. Because if you really look at the disciples in that boat, they're comfortable where they are. But Peter's like, no, I want more. Lord, hey, let me walk on the water. Hey, can I come? He said, come. So he was wanting
more. Man, that's a whole other deal right there, bringing Peter out of his comfort zone. That's a great point. The disciples were in their comfort zone. They were in a place where they knew they would be safe, and Peter decided to get out there and challenge it.
I mean, they was like, well, that's at first of all, you know, they thought it was a ghost. Hey man, that's a ghost. Did somebody die out here? Hey, is this a ghost? We get scared. We got to call the Ghostbusters or something here. We got a ghost out there. And all of a sudden, Jesus said, no, I'm not no ghost. I'm not a ghost. I'm walking on the water, folks. I'm walking on the water. I brought some of the 80s in there, but anyway, or 90s. But anyway, he's like, I'm not no ghost. I'm out here walking on the water. He didn't say this completely, but he said, I want to test y'all's faith. See how much you guys want to trust me. And he was like, I think he was saying in his mind, how many of these guys are going to come out here to me? And the last one that he expected, Peter jumped up and said, hey, Lord, can I come out there with you? Yes. Come, Peter. And he's all walking on the water. And then, you know, his faith got pushed back and forth. But on top of it, the rest of the guys is too scared to get out of that boat, right, Jacob?
They were just sitting back watching and being observers. But then that goes along with what you were talking about nominal church people. You know, it's a shame to say, but there's a lot of them like that. You may have one or two out of 20 that will stand up, and they will leave their comfort zone, you know, to grab a hold of more than, you know, what they could have got if they were just sitting there listening or watching. And that's a great illustration. In fact, I think you inadvertently gave me an idea for another message. Yeah, as far as the '80s gimmick, if there's anybody listening that was in the '80s, Ray Parker Jr. said he wasn't afraid of no ghosts, and so did Jesus. So,
Amen. Yeah. That's true. So we're gonna go right into a song. We'll be right back and talk about more of this, guys. If you need prayer tonight, if you're in pain tonight, if you want to see a miracle tonight, call that 515-602-9685. You can post it on the Facebook Messenger. I will pray for you there also. But if you want to call in toll free, I don't know whether it's a toll free, but you can call. It's toll free anywhere in the United States nowadays. I mean, it's the same price. So, but anyway, it's 515-602-9685. Please make this just about healing. Praise God. So we want to pray for some people, see some miracles happen tonight. We want to see the Holy Spirit touch you tonight. Praise God. So I'm going to go into Zion. I love this song from Nate Mariachi, Zion. We're going to go right into that. Here we go.
Yeah. Bless the Lord. May your praise rise. He's our Lord. Oh, you're worthy, Lord. You're worthy of the highest praise.
Welcome back to the Healing Light Radio Show, and we was talking about Jesus walking water. How you doing, Jacob?
I'm good, Stan.
Praise God, praise God. It's going to be an awesome time in the Lord, and I want to let everybody know this is a radio show. This is not a regular television program, so you are going to listen to us. You probably won't see us, but I just want to remind everybody of that. But anyway, this is going to be an awesome time in the Lord. We're already having an awesome time here. I want to remind everybody about calling in for a healing tonight. If you want deliverance, if you need prayer, call 515-602-9685. It's 515-602-9685. If you're just listening to us on Blog Talk Radio, I want to say hello to you guys. If you're listening to us on YouTube TV, I ask you to please subscribe and please share this broadcast to many different places. If you're listening to us on Facebook, give us a thumbs up. If you're listening to us on YouTube, give us a thumbs up, because every time you give us a thumbs up on YouTube, it pushes it more in the YouTube world and gets more people to watch it. And, guys, share this program on Facebook to many people as you can. If you're listening to us on Twitter, share this program. Give us a thumbs up. I want to say hey to everybody. If you're enjoying the podcast, I want to say everybody to Periscope. I want to thank you guys for watching or listening. Praise God. I'm used to doing video shows. But anyway, you know, please give us a thumbs up. Let us know how you like this program. And I'll say hey to everybody on Roku TV. Praise God, we got something different on Roku TV going on now. On Sundays, we actually play nothing but church programs. The church programs that we have on here every single Sunday, they're playing those all day on Sunday now. So you're able to watch the Sunday programs during the day. You might see the one from this or last week and then the next week. And just different ones, I might, you know, mix it up in there. If you would like your church program to be on that channel, let me know. There's no charge. I don't charge for this. I do ask you to, you know, to share our programs, let people know about the Healing Light channel. That's the only thing I ask you to do is please promote what we're doing. But we could use your church programs if you'd like us to. But and also, if you would like us to come out and do a conference nearby, maybe in your church, a healing conference. A deliverance conference, whatever you would like, get a hold of us. We can set this up, and we can pray for people, see miracles happen, see the Holy Spirit come through the church and bring healing and deliverance to everybody in that place. Praise God. And just awesome to see God move. And Jacob is also willing to give his testimony, and every time he gives his testimony, the Lord moves. He saw awesome miracles happen after his testimony, and just see God moving and bring healing and deliverance upon everybody that needs it. Praise God. So, or we both can show up and do a healing and deliverance, and you know, we could teach healing. That's something that both of us is pretty good at, ain't we, Jacob?
Well, I'd say the Holy Spirit's good at it. We just show up.
Yeah, we're just the instruments that they use. So, you know. I can tell you this, each conference I do is different. There is no conference that I do is actually the exact same, because what I found out, you know, through the Holy Spirit, he wants to say something different to each church or each program that we do. So every conference that I've had, I mean, you know, Jacob's been in one of my conferences that I had here in Hickory, North Carolina, but I've had, you know, plenty since then, but every one that I've ever done, it's always been a different taste to the conference, because we'll be talking about something going on maybe in that town, or something's going on in that ministry, something's going on around in those people. I mean, you never know what the Holy Spirit's going to have you to talk about, because as you know, the Holy Spirit knows all about these people. So he don't only want to heal you, he wants to help you and show you the way of the Lord and help you through your tough times, and I've always noticed that during these conferences. What do you think, Jacob?
I would agree with that. And by the way, we did have a good time at the conference we were at. That was
great
one
job.
Of Stan's first ones, and I mean, we were kind of shocked at the turnout, dude. That place was packed.
Yes, it was a pretty good turnout, and I thank to Brother Heath Adams. He helped a lot with that, praise God, and a lot of the community came out and supported us, and that was awesome. And we got to see people get healed, delivered. We had some prophetic singers came in there, and they was prophesying as they was singing. We saw people get healed during the worship. We got people getting healed during the worship, man, and that's pretty awesome. That's when the Lord is moving off of the worship worshipers, and the Lord just bringing healing and deliverance upon those folks. I normally use worship groups that actually is anointed, not just one that's just up there just singing, having a good time, but somebody that's actually close to the Lord, that when they worship as they're praying to God at night in their personal time. As it says, you know, as everybody says, you know, how you are in with the Lord in your personal time is going to reveal itself in your open time singing to people about Jesus. So if you got a personal time with Jesus, if you're in that private room or in that private area with Jesus and you're talking to him, you spend that time with him, when you're preaching, that presence, that Holy Spirit will come out of that and bring healing and deliverance upon people. That's the worship teams we normally have with us. So when they worship, they're going to bring that, the Holy Spirit's going to come in there, and not only that, it's going to be healing and deliverance. And then when the program starts, you're going to see the Lord move, because we don't want to go there with empty words. We want to go there packed full of the Holy Spirit to see healing and deliverance happen, praise God. And if you would like to see it, if you would like to have a conference like that in your church, in your area, let us know, praise God. And we can set something up. We don't ask for a lot to come out. I mean, I don't need the M&Ms lined up in a row, or I got to have the big expensive place. You know, we're not like that. We just want a place to stay, something to eat, and somewhere to preach, and we're good. You know, we don't really
That's
ask
pretty
for a
simple,
lot.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Maybe a little bit of gas money, I don't know, but whatever, you know, the Lord puts on your heart to help us out. But anyway, we're very simple. We just want to get the gospel out. That's the only thing that we're wanting to do, just get the gospel out and see the Lord bring healing and deliverance upon, you know, everybody there. But anyway, we're going to get back to the topic here. And then again, I want to tell you guys, if you would like to find out about Healing Light Ministries, go to healinglightministriesnc.org. You can find out more about Healing Light Ministries there and see what we're doing, some of the shows, and just see, you know, how the Lord is moving in this ministry. If you like deliverance, you can find my Healing and Deliverance on Facebook or message me. I'd be more than happy to do that. And me and Jacob prays for individuals. If you need prayer, just contact one of us. We'd be more than happy to do that. But, folks, if you would like to donate for this show, if you'd like to donate any finances to this show, you can go to healinglightministriesnc.org and donate there, praise God, and say, hey, I like what you guys are doing, and I like to keep this going, and you can donate there, praise God. And that's enough of talking about Healing Light Ministries. We're going to go back into that. But anyway, Jacob, yes, we found different avenues to talk about this, about Jesus walking on the water and about these guys in the boat. What do you think, man?
I think it's been great. And like I said before, you've given me some ideas for some different approaches on messages for this. And, you know, the conversation, you know, and the topic was really good. I told you before we started the show it was going to be good. I really hope that people get something out of this. I mean, there's so many different angles. You know, you can look through the traditional lens of the way it's usually taught, which is, you know, the storms of life and this and that. That's nothing wrong with that, you know, but there's so many things that can be applied to the story about Peter walking on the water, like the thing I talked about, Jesus' dominion over the sea and the storms that he practiced on more than one occasion. And, you know, Stan talked about testing their faith. Well, we also brought up the angle of, you know, this is like church, you know, this is like the church in some aspects. You've got people that are sitting in the boat, which is the church, and they're in their comfort zone and they're not moving. You know, they're satisfied with where they're at. Well, Peter wasn't satisfied with where he was at. He was always chasing Jesus. At the end of the book of John, it talks about how Peter took off his outer garment, and he said, "It is the Lord." And Jesus was on the shore with a fire cooking fish. And Peter was the one who took off his outer garment, jumped out of the boat, swam to shore, you know. So even though Peter made a lot of mistakes, there's a whole bunch of good things we can learn from his life. And one of those things is boldness and stepping out of your comfort zone, trying to go after things the nominal believer won't go after. You know, and when they see you go after it, they'll be like, "Wow, we can do this too." So it's not just for you. It's a testimony to them.
So true. So true. It's not just for us. It's a testimony for them. And as you know, as this was recorded, it's touched a lot of people through 2,000 years or so, and it's touched a lot of people through this gospel. And just showing, you know, sometimes you have to get out of that boat to test the faith. You know, Jesus was actually, I mean, Peter was actually testing his faith. You know, you got to put some action into your faith. And as he was seeing his faith that he had in Jesus, he was achieving something. He was walking on that water. He was doing all that stuff until the wind blew and put a little bit of fear in him. And fear can move you out of your faith. Fear can move you off of your path, praise God. And that's what we're going to be very careful about, is how that fear can push you off your path, can push you off of what you're supposed to be doing. I know that we've had this COVID. We've had a lot of things. This COVID and some of the stuff that we've saw in the last year or so has really kicked some people off of their faith, out of the church, all type of things, because they had their focus on the fear and not on Jesus. And I think the ones that did make it is the ones that had their faith on Jesus, praise God. I know when I actually got this stuff, I actually had my faith on Jesus, was praying the whole time. And Jesus actually removed some stuff off of me, praise God, as I was going through that. But my faith stayed on Jesus. And, you know, then I got relieved from it. He removed it off of me. I'm doing good today, praise God. And, you know, that's the whole thing, is just keep your faith on Jesus. And when you do that, you see these things move. You see those mountains move that you couldn't see before. And it says in the Word of God, if you have faith as much as a mustard seed, you can speak to that mountain and say, "Move," and it will move. He didn't say you had to have faith as much as Billy Graham, or you had to have faith as much as John G. Lake. He said you have as much faith as a mustard seed that you could speak and that mountain would move. And that's what he's talking about, just a little bit of faith saying, you know, as I said before 100 times, faith means trust. If you have a little bit of trust in Jesus, you have a little bit of trust in the Father, that's when we start seeing things move, praise God. And you're not scared. You're not scared. You're not asking all these questions. You're not saying, "Hey, is this going to happen or that going to happen?" Because once you speak it to the Father and you pray it, you know that the Lord is going to do something about it. You have that faith. You don't have no worries anymore. You speak it, you pray it, you keep in faith, and that moves, praise God. And it's just what really needs to happen, you know, in a believer's life, that he needs to make it a habit. Make it a habit, just asking the Lord different things. Say, "Father, I don't mean asking for airplanes and crazy stuff. I'm talking about things that you really need. If you need an airplane and you're traveling all over the world and you need one, yeah, go for it." But I'm just saying, you know, if you're needing help in your life, you're needing financial help, you're needing mental help, you're needing physical help, you know, ask the Lord. Say, "Lord, please, you know, bring somebody to me. Give me wisdom. Bring healing to me. Bring deliverance to me." And I guarantee you that something will happen. I mean, I can't tell you how many times the Lord's came through for me. I mean that there's, I couldn't even number every time that the Lord's did things for me. He's awesome. And there's times that, you know, you're sitting there thinking, you're worried, "Oh God, is he going to do something?" It's been a while, and you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting. And all of a sudden, when you're in your need and you're not paying attention, Jesus comes through and does something. He moves something. He changes something. Even though that, you know, you don't deserve it. There's a lot of us, we don't deserve Jesus to do anything for us. We don't even know how he's even looking at us. But he loves you, and he paid for that. He paid for the imperfect person. He wants you to get out of that way. He wants you to learn to follow him and walk in his footsteps. What do you think, Jacob?
I think that's right. I think that, you know, you were, you know, one time we were talking about blessing, the blessings of God, and you were talking about, you know, Jesus doing stuff for us. Well, there's a lot of times we don't even realize it until days later, you know. But, you know, on the COVID thing, I know some people, you know, we've all heard about the social distancing and this and that and the other. And, you know, I have my views on all of that stuff. But as far as the faith issue, you know, I know people that have had hands laid on them that have had COVID. People have laid hands. I know several believers that have laid hands on people with COVID and their symptoms disappeared and they never had it again. One person was, I've got a friend named Moose. Now, I don't know his real name. That's his nickname, Moose. I've got a friend named Moose that laid hands on his daughter. She had tested positive for COVID, and he made her immediately come to his house. And he laid hands on her, and she's never had another spell, you know. And that's just one story that I know of. And so it all depends on where your focus is. And on the practical side of, you know, keeping your faith in Jesus, and Stan was talking about faith without works, it's like going to get a job, you know. If after you graduate high school, then it's time to either go to college or get a job. Well, some people don't go to college. They decided to go to work for a while and then go to college later, maybe take a break for a year, and they go to work and they get a job. Well, you have to go fill out an application. You know, there, it's very seldom that somebody's going to knock on your door and say, hey, I have a job for you. You know, normally you have to put that faith to work and go fill out applications and wait for phone calls. And, you know, there's a process you have to go through to get a job. You know, prayer works good for that, but God expects you to do your part. And your part is to have faith, and faith, you know, the faith action of that is going to fill out an application. Somebody will call you eventually, but you have to go out and do it. You're not going to be able to get anything like that. Now, there may be them instances people knock on your door and go, hey, you know, God told me to come here and offer you a job. That hardly ever happens that I know of. Usually it takes faith on our part to get the job. And so it's just like the stuff about Peter walking on the water and getting out of his comfort zone. It's the same principle, just a different time.
That's true. That's true. Now, we had Brooke Brashaw. She wrote in and said, I plan to move out towards the end of the summer, probably around August or September, at the same time, I'm planning on taking my vacation as I move into my own place. Lord, could you please bless that plan for me? And I would appreciate it. And thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. So Brooke Charles wants us to pray for her right quick about her summer. She's planning to move towards the end of the summer and probably around August. So right now, in Jesus' name, we just ask the Lord to, you know, bless her and bless her with her move and help her find a place. And, Lord, we just ask you to just put your hand upon this and bring peace upon her and bring a way, open doors that she's never saw open before. We just ask for these doors to be open. Go ahead, Jacob.
Well, I remember praying. I went to visit a church recently, and this is I went to visit a church recently, and the pastor asked me to come up and pray for this lady who has a lost friend or relative. I can't remember which one. And instead of praying, I made her speak what she wanted. So I'm just going to say right now, Brooke, if you're listening, speak what you want to happen, because that's as good as prayer. That is prayer. Speak what you want to happen. What exactly do you want out of this situation? And don't waver in your faith. Speak what you want to happen. Say what you want to happen. You know, don't just let anything happen. You know, tell it what to do. And, you know, that's a foreign concept to a lot of people, but it works. We've seen it happen. That's what I would encourage you to do. You know, God can move in your behalf, but the Bible says that God says, command you my hands to the works, you know, command my hands. God actually said that. There is a scripture that says, God said, command the works of my hands. And so, you know, I would encourage Brooke to command the hands of God. There's nothing wrong with that. He tells you to do it. You know, I remember a pastor that did that one time, praying for somebody with cancer, and he said, God, I command you to heal this person. Well, he didn't know any better. He was still learning. But God healed that person and met him where his faith was. And so God will meet you where your faith is. Just speak what you want to happen and command the works of God. Command the hands of God to do the work you want done. And it'll work out for you.
Amen. Amen. That's so very true. And, you know, just speak it out, Brooke. Just say, in Jesus' name, we just ask. I just command right now that this opens up, these doors open up for, you know, open up for you right now, and that you know, that, you know, God will send angels to open up things and bring people your way. The Holy Spirit will bless this situation. We just command this now in Jesus' mighty name. And, you know, just thank the Lord for stuff you might not seen yet, but thank him for it. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for those doors to be open. And, you know, a lot of times we have to speak this stuff, don't we, Jacob?
We do. I mean, there's scripture that covers a lot of that. You know, just, you know, call forth what you want. I remember telling my grandmother when I got married that I was not going to pay for my first place to live in my first car, and I didn't. Somebody gave it to us, you know, and she's like, that's a really bold statement, you know, and I'm like, well, I have a God that can back it up. And, you know, I've been given houses and cars and this and that and the other. Not that I haven't never paid for anything. I mean, I've paid for one of my vehicles, but I paid cash for it all the way. But
praise
you
God.
Know what? We believe God, and I'm just telling these stories to say, look, you can call this stuff into existence, and God will meet you. He wants this to happen. He wants this to happen more than you want this to happen.
That's it. The thing of it is, don't speak word curses over your destiny. I think a lot of times we can speak word curses over our destiny. What do I mean by word curses? Word curses is when you're actually speaking against what you're wanting to happen. Like saying, oh, that'll never happen. Oh, that, you know, it never happens for me and all that stuff. Yeah, no, it will never happen for you if you say that stuff and put that stuff out. So what you sow, when you're sowing into your destiny, you're wanting these things to come forth. Always put out the positive stuff about it. Say, yes, we're going to, it's coming its way. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Keep on sowing seeds for that, and God will let you reap a harvest for that. Praise God. And I really believe a lot of times why we don't see some of these dreams happen is because we destroy it with our own mouths. What do you think, Jacob?
I believe that wholeheartedly. That's why you have to, the Bible says, to cast down every vain imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And that's exactly what you're talking about, that scripture right there. And we have to be conscious and train our mouth. And I know people that have trained their mouth for years and years and years. And the Bible talks about in Proverbs being quiet a lot. You know, and if anybody's ever watched that Disney cartoon Bambi, you know, Thumper comes out and says, if you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all. You know, and, you know, that's just a simple... That's a simple statement from a rabbit in a cartoon. And, well, I'm just saying, I mean, there's truth in that. Cast down all vain imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Cast down, you know, that's controlling your thought life, because whatever you're thinking is going to eventually come out of your mouth. And you don't want to destroy your destiny with your words. Because what you're doing is you're actually going against God's will for your life.
That's so very true. That's so very true. So at this time, we're going to go ahead and pray for everybody that's listening. And, you know, right now in Jesus' name, I just ask for the Holy Spirit to touch everybody that's listening. I just command healing upon legs, healing upon arms. I'm feeling somebody's having problems with their elbows. I command those elbows to be healed right now in Jesus' mighty name. I just release healing to their legs. People have hurt legs, sore legs. I command those sore legs to be healed right now. I curse cancer at the root and at the seed. I command that cancer to die out of them. I speak over that COVID. I command that COVID to leave. I curse that COVID at the root and at the seed. I command that COVID to leave their lungs, and I command that spirit to leave right now in Jesus' name. I command the armor of that COVID spirit to be removed now. I command this thing to be kicked out of their body now for them to be completely relieved in Jesus' name. I speak healing upon everybody right now that's listening in Jesus' name. You picking up anything, Jacob?
I'm not at this time, but I will pray if you want me to.
Go ahead, man.
Father, I thank you for everybody listening under the sound of my voice and the people that are listening, will be listening in the future. Father, I thank you, God, for life, health, wholeness, and blessing. I thank you, Father God, for strength, vitality, and youthfulness, no matter what age they are, because, you know, age is only a mind thing. Age is only a number. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for everybody listening. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy and your love and your kindness. Father, I thank you for your chastisement and correction. We don't really thank God for that, so I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for your chastisement and correction. Thank you, Father, that your Bible that you said that you've inspired the Word for rebuke, reproof, and correction in righteousness. And that's not a bad thing. That's always a good thing, and we thank you for it. Father, we thank you, God, for the blood that washes away our sins. Father, we thank you, God, that, you know, whoever's listening, I'm not even going to give a salvation call. I'm just going to say if you decide to make Jesus the Lord of your life, you know, do it now. I have a friend that recently got born again. He called his wife at 2:00 in the morning. He's been a friend of mine for 26 years. And he got kicked out of the Baptist church after getting a divorce. And he was mad at the church for a long time. Well, so was I after that. And I eventually got over it. And he was making all kind of bad jokes about the church during his gigs and where he'd play at. And I asked him to stop, and he quit. You know, it took a few times for me to tell him to stop. He got born again last Saturday night at 2:00 in the morning. Nobody led him in a sinner's prayer. Nobody asked him if he wanted to receive Jesus. He was in a conversation with one of his stepsons, and one of his stepsons and him were talking about life, and he just called his wife, and he said, look, I've been really doing a lot of thinking, and I think I'm going to follow Jesus. That's all that happened. It wasn't anything huge like we see in churches. It's a simple decision. So if you want to make that same decision, you don't need us to pray with you. All you have to do is make a decision. And then, you know, find a Bible-based church and help yourself grow in that decision.
Amen. Amen. And he didn't find a bathtub full of water to stick his head in there 100 times to make sure he's good and saved either, did he?
No. His wife actually was telling us the other night at this barbecue joint he was gigging at that she just said he called up at 2:00 last Saturday night and said, you know, I accepted the good Lord. And she said, what happened? He said, well, he didn't pray for me. We were just talking about life, and I just made a conscious decision that, you know, I better start following the Lord, you know. And, you know, he's over all that, you know, foolishness that the Baptist church did to him about kicking him out about his divorce and all that, which I think was wrong. And it was wrong, but you know what, dude? You forgive and forget, you move. So,
yes.
But, you know, I'm just excited to hear about that. His wife is a believer, and she's been praying for that for a long time. And God in some way revealed himself that night when he was having that conversation with his stepson. And so, but it, like I said, it wasn't no big flashy thing, dude. It was a simple decision on a car ride home.
That's it. That's when God can touch you the most, is when you're in that back corner, maybe in your bedroom at night, and all of a sudden, you know, you just getting sick and tired of your life. You're sick and tired of how you're living your life, and all of a sudden, maybe a gospel song comes on, or maybe a television show comes on. Maybe you're listening to the Healing Light Radio. I don't know. And maybe you're finding the Healing Light channel on Roku. I don't know what it could be. But anyway, but something pushes you to, think about the Lord Jesus Christ. And, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit has to convict you. A preacher can't, nobody can, but the Holy Spirit has to convict you. He'll convict you. I really believe there's so many preachers out here that try to convict people, and it's not them that's going to do it. It's the Holy Spirit has to draw you to Christ. So a lot of times when we try to play the Holy Spirit and try to knock people down, we actually kick them away from the Lord. The Holy Spirit has to do that from the inside. So when you preach the gospel, you plant the seed in their mind, and then when Jesus feels a right time for that seed to grow, he sends the Holy Spirit to make that sprout where they can gain salvation. They come to the Lord. They're willing to come to the Lord. And that's a lot of things that has to happen. And maybe tonight, I'm going to say this, maybe tonight that you're hearing this testimony that Jacob just said, and you're wanting the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. You don't know what to do. You don't know the fancy prayer. You don't know these things. I'm just going to give you an opportunity right now to pray. Just say, Lord Jesus Christ, I repent of all my sins. Say, I did a lot of bad stuff, Lord, and I hand all these sins to your cross, Lord. I hand them to you and your cross. Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross. I believe that you rose on the third day, Lord Jesus. I ask you into my heart, Lord Jesus. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Lord, I just lay my life down amongst your feet, and I follow you now, Jesus. I ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, the Lord Jesus Christ has came into your heart. And as Jacob was saying earlier, find a good Bible-believing church, get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and get baptized in water also. Get immersed in water. And if you need to get immersed in water, get a hold of Healing Light Ministry, or you can get a hold of Jacob if you live in Louisiana. And we can get you baptized, praise God, and Spirit-filled. But this has been an awesome time tonight, Jacob.
Oh, it's been a blast. It's been really, 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 really interesting and eye-opening.
Amen, amen. And we will be back, I'll say, I don't think we'll be back next Thursday because I'm going to be out of town next Thursday. So I will see you maybe the following week. I'll get in touch with Jacob. We'll see what we can do. Maybe we will do something Thursday. I don't know. But I will get back with you guys and watch the Healing Light Ministry Facebook page. Right there we'll find all the information what the Healing Light Ministries is going to do, about our shows, about our Healing Light channel. If you want to know about the Healing Light channel, we also got a Healing Light channel Facebook page. It tells you all about the different shows, about the different stuff that's happening on the channel. We also have the Healing Light show radio show page also. You can go there and check out all the things that you need to know. As I just want to tell you guys, if you want to listen to the Healing Light radio show during the night, around 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Healing Light radio show plays all night until in the morning hours. There's all type of different teachings. That's me and Jacob. We've got Kim Burrow. He comes on there. There's many different teachers that comes on there. So you can listen to awesome Christian music and plus listen to us preach. And then during the mid-morning hours, it goes back to the regular scheduled program. And you also are able to listen to live broadcasts on there also. The live broadcast that we have actually comes on there also. So I want to thank you again, Jacob, for coming on here, brother.
Oh, man, it's always a pleasure, bro. I enjoy it a lot.
Yes, tell them how they can get in touch with you, man.
All right, well, you can go to Facebook and look for Sons of Righteousness Ministries at Facebook.com. That's our page. You'll find all my events that I'm going to be doing there. In fact, I just got asked today to preach for my buddy, and I got a pastor friend of mine in Arkansas I'll be preaching for on July 25th. He's doing what you're doing. He's going to Florida. So,
right.
He's going to Florida. You're going to the mountains. If you want to call me for any type of prayer, you can call 318-331-2296. That's 318-331-2296. If you want to schedule a meeting with us, you can either message me through that Facebook page, or you can just call me on the phone. you know, we do, we don't, we, there's no specific types of meetings we do, just whatever you want to do, and we'll work around it. If you want to email us, that's sorministries@yahoo.com. And actually, right now, I'm working on a book about my testimony. In fact, I'll be sending Stan some pictures of what the cover is going to look like. But I got that done today. So, you know, as time goes on and, you know, this little booklet gets finished, we'll let you know about it.
Praise God, praise God. And I'll be in the Pigeon Fork area pretty soon. So, you know, if you live in the Pigeon Fork area and you need prayer, you can get a hold of me. I'm going to be down that way around Thursday until Sunday, something like that. And if you need prayer and you live in that area, maybe you can contact me and I could come and pray for you, deliverance, healing, whatever, you know, the Lord needs to happen to you. You can get in contact with me, message me on Facebook, and or message me on the healinglifeministrync.org and go to my website, and you can message me here. Say, hey, Stan, I live in that area. I need prayer. Can you, you know, come and pray for me, or can I meet up with you and pray? You know, you can pray for me. I'll be more than happy. I do deliverance, inner healing, all that stuff, and it'd be awesome to do ministry as I'm there. And, you know, if you like to hit the streets and do ministry, I'll be willing to do that too. But anyway, I want to say God bless you guys, and thank you so much for healing, listening to the Healing Light Radio Show.
Thanks for listening to the Healing Light Radio Show.